Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of Keno's Beard. I'm still Keane.
And I'm still Dale.
How are you this week, Dale?
Not too bad. Had a good out of week. I was at the Parmigiani concert on Monday night. Yeah.
How was that?
Very good. Very, very good.
Very good. I had a decent week as well. Liverpool only lost 1-0 in the Champions League.
In Madrid.
Yeah. We'll get straight into that now because I want to get this out of the way. Because we do talk about Liverpool a good bit.
Too much.
Yeah. We'll stay away from him from now on. But what did you make of Rodgers' team selection during the week? I know he had a bit to say about it on Twitter.
For starters, I think leaving Gerrard out is something that they've had to do for some time.
Yep.
He hasn't performed well. And in contrast to that, Paul Scholes' column this morning has touched on Liverpool haven't got a strong enough squad to leave him out. What does that say about the likes of Henderson that should be taking up that role now? Apart from that, the squad, I think, was an absolute disaster.
The team selection.
I know the result wasn't too bad, but it said a lot about Liverpool Football Club. Brendan Rodgers, really.
Yeah.
The Champions League for Liverpool is a massive, massive thing, and they're the biggest. They've won more times than anyone else in England.
Yeah.
5 times. They kept the trophy in Istanbul. And I just think that all summer the club were kind of boasting
didn't
about
treat the competition with respect,
no,
really, did
that's
he?
The thing. And all summer there was all talk about Liverpool being back in Champions League. It was great for the club.
Yeah.
But to treat the competition in that respect, it needs questioning, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. But do you not think the mindset of the so-called first-team squad could have resulted in a worse result against Madrid?
In the way they're performing, absolutely. Yeah. I think with the squad he put out, I think it kind of gave that boost for Madrid that they didn't really have to try as hard as they necessarily needed to against a better squad.
Kind of went in with the mindset saying we don't have to play as well as we have to as we did last time, you know. But
and obviously people are kind of saying he's one eye on Chelsea at the weekend, which is our game of the week.
And Mourinho said he'd never rest players for Liverpool.
Yeah, well, look, I'd put it this way. I think all summer it's a painful logic for a Liverpool fan to try and swallow that. We're in the Champions League now, great. Next, but our ambition is to get back in next year.
I thought he was right to change the team.
To change?
Maybe not so drastically.
Yeah.
But I thought he was right to change the team around, definitely, and to use the players he has.
Well, against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, though.
Yeah. Why not?
It's the Bernabeu.
Why not? It's still the question I ask you. These lads are still part of the first team squad. They have to be blended in sometime. You know, why not at the Bernabeu?
Is that
not a good learning experience for
the
players?
It is, but you shouldn't have to necessarily learn. You should have learned going into a game like that.
It would have been good experience,
you know,
though.
Absolutely.
For the young guys
experience,
squad,
though.
At the Bernabeu, you know.
A lot of talk about Kolo Touré from the game.
Best centre half in the world. We said last week how Fabregas was in Marouane Fellaini's pocket. Well, Cristiano Ronaldo is sorting out the change in Kolo Touré's pocket as we speak.
Well, Ronaldo won't be happy because Wednesday night Lionel Messi reached Raul's record.
Yeah, the joint record against Ajax. I knew we'd stop him, do you know that? I knew we'd stop him from getting the record.
Yeah, well, look, put it this way. Ronaldo's got a great goal against Liverpool in the first fixture against Liverpool. And Mignolet put off a great save to prevent him scoring a free kick as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of Liverpool players that night, I thought, regardless of a poor kind of outlook from Rodgers to play a weakened squad like that in such a big game, I thought a number of players that you wouldn't expect to stand up, they did stand up.
Yep, they did.
They didn't get crushed. They lost 1-0, which is a respectable loss.
More respectable than losing 3-0 at home.
Exactly.
Anyway, moving on, since we're talking about Liverpool, I'll give you something to talk about now. I just came through on my phone. Marcus Rojo faces 6 weeks on the sideline.
Mm. It's better than the 6 months that was reported.
Yeah, a lot better than the 6 months. But United's defence, it's obviously a huge blow again for them.
It's blow after blow.
But you can't really say much about it. It's an injury, you can't do much about it. But who's going to step up now and step in and replace Rojo?
With Phil Jones out, you know, that's another player out. Chris Smalling suspended over his absolute stupid decisions against Sam City.
I can see you're very emotional about that. Now, you watched the game. What did you make of the whole?
I thought the game plan went straight out the window after he got sent off. I think if we had 11 players in the pitch, if Smalling stayed on, I think we would have bet City.
Yeah. I predicted United win.
Yeah. I knew when we did get down to 10 men, perhaps should have been down to 9 men on Fellaini, but down to 10 men, I think that it's hard enough to prevent City from scoring with the players they have in Aguero and Form. The game window, the game plan was to attack. If you're down to 10 men, it's more difficult. You need to be more conservative.
Yeah.
But yeah, who I think should step up? At the weekend, I think there's so many defenders that have let United down this season. And I know they're good players. Yeah. They just haven't been performing. They're not performing well. I don't know how close Johnny Evans comes from return, but I would love to see a full back pairing of Tyler Blackett and Paddy McNair. Paddy McNair came on against City.
Tyler Blackett at full back or centre back?
Centre back.
Centre back.
Paddy McNair came on against City, arguably at fault for Aguero's goal, but yeah. Apart from that, he's very composed. He's a young lad, he has to make mistakes in order to learn, and I just think that he should be given a good chance to the team. He's one of the defenders.
He should be given a chance like Flanagan was given a chance last season, maybe.
Yeah, Flanagan did reasonably well last season.
I thought he was very good now. That little laugh kind of caught me off guard there. I thought you were going to be supportive of how good Flanagan was last year.
No, not at all.
Do you rate him?
It's not that I don't rate him, it's if I was playing against Flanagan as a manager, I'd be going down that flank rather than the other flank.
But Glenn Johnson could be on the other flank, bear in mind as well, so...
Happy days.
You can attack the two flanks without bother then. Still on the topic of United, I suppose. Moyes to Sociedad has been going around the rumour mill.
A club in trouble, so...
Real Sociedad? I wouldn't really follow Spanish football that much, but they were doing well the past while, weren't they?
Well, I think particularly this season they're struggling. I think as much as I'd slate David Moyes' reign at Manchester United, I think it's a club that he could definitely do a job at, in a sense that it's a mediocre club.
It's a similar kind of profile to Everton.
Yeah, maybe it's a tad bit less so nowadays. But I think it's a job that he can go and try and boost spirits by telling defenders to watch.
What about that? What about that language barrier though as well? Rough Scottish accent with some Basque.
It's definitely going to be an issue. I don't know does he know Spanish, and I highly doubt he does, but from following his reign at Manchester United last season, a lot of his scouting was done in Spain. He might not necessarily bought a lot of Spanish players, but he
wanted
Ander
Herrera, so he did.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the players he looked at, and from what I've heard last season, there was 31 players in Spain that he was scouting. 31 players in Spain, I think.
Number.
So he obviously watched that Spanish football.
Yeah.
He'll probably go there, and he knows a lot about the players that are there at the moment, and he knows what kind of players he wants to bring in. Of course, it's a different league to what he's used to, as opposed to hoofball.
Is Sociedad, if I'm not mistaken, are they restricted to signing Basque players?
I'm not 100% certain.
I know Bilbao are.
Possibly are, but even if they are, look, I'm not too sure who their president is. I know Bilbao is very strict on that. But look,
I know
you never know.
Anyway.
They could be linked with Leon Osman and some
Miguel Arteta, maybe.
A player that they.
Make Spanish guy going back to Spain.
Perhaps. That's a great show.
He played at Sociedad, I'm pretty sure.
The other thing as well is the one player that I think I'd like to see in Spain, he plays in the league and he knows David Moyes very, very well, is Steven Pina. He's a small technical player, and I think that's one of the shouts. It's not been reported yet, but mark my words, it will be reported if and when he takes the job at Real Sociedad.
Pina will be linked.
Linked, I think so.
So do you think he'd sign?
Who knows? He went.
Yes
to Spurs.
Or no, Dale? Do you think he'd sign?
To follow his previous manager, Brom, to England, maybe. But you see, the only thing that's holding me back is
Pinar is going to sign for Real Sociedad. Put
if
your money
and
on
when
that.
Moyes signs.
When Moyes signs. But Dale O'Donnell is held responsible here.
We see with Pinar, he went to Spurs from Everton, had a terrible time.
Yeah.
He did very well at Everton, went back to Everton, he's doing well again. So what could maybe stop him from wanting to join Real Sociedad is he might feel at home with Everton, and he kind of feels a rough patch going on anywhere from that.
There's a good few wingers now at Everton though as well. McGeady is signed this summer. Like, there's a lot more competition there.
Absolutely.
So maybe a breath of fresh air in the Spanish league could be good for him. So I know. I'd be putting my money on coming to you if it doesn't happen.
Put it this way: turn up at Merseyside, go and train in the rain, the cold, or go to Rail Society when it's sunny. And I think if it comes down to that, PNR has only one decision to make, and it's going to be a yes.
So would you rather play for Sociedad or United? The rain up
Manchester. I love the rain, you see. I like the rain.
Okay, staying in Spain, Costa has been omitted from the Spanish squad again. This has been an ongoing since the start of the year, since Costa signed for Chelsea. Do you think it's just his loyalties don't really lie with Spain because he was born in Brazil, or do you think it's just Mourinho is putting his foot down?
A bit of pressure.
His foot down is in. You're not.
I think over the past 6 or 7 weeks, there's been doubts over Costa's fitness alone.
Yeah,
Mourinho
definitely.
Comes out saying he's not fully sure if he can be fit or not.
The last time he came back from the Spanish squad, he had a hamstring and a virus as well. So.
But even at that, in the World Cup, he had injury problems. At the Champions League final last year, he went off injured. He started, and Simone started, and there was problems before the game, and he came off, I think, in 19 minutes into the game. He's injury prone, I think. I think it's fair to say that. He's had a lot of injuries in the past. I think maybe Mourinho is saying, look, it's precaution. Let's just rest you up and get you back after the international break, and let's win this league, I think. I think it's a shame for Spain because he's obviously their main striker.
Did you see the players that called up?
No, I haven't seen this morning.
I know two of them are Alvaro Morata.
Di Maria can call up? Or not Di Maria, De Gea?
Yeah. De Gea, Mata missed out. Morata, Alexar, and I'm not sure who the other strikers are. The three strikers, pretty young strikers.
It's funny. It's
if you look at the team now, it's a far cry from what it used to be, but it's still a very good team. You have Koke, you have players that you wouldn't even really recognise, wouldn't be star names like Iniesta or Xavi or, you know, the players of the past. Via.
Just with some of the noise in the background, we're back in the pub and we're both having a pint of Coors Light.
Hard to get us out of it.
But yeah, on that, and it's an interesting point about Spain. Every country, every club, every successful club, every country, they go through cycles. Like we, as a keynote beer podcast, and we're obviously two Irish lads, go back to Saipan when Ireland got knocked out on penalties to Spain. Looking back at that squad, yes, had Puyol, yes, had Raul,
Fernando Hierro.
It was far from the World Cup European winning side that they are now, so it proves cycle.
Look at the French team of 98-2002 as well.
Yeah, and now they can't stop arguing. Do you know?
Well, they're always good for that. When was the last time England went through a cycle?
We're going back. You see, England's a funny one. On paper, because we watch Premier League football, we
just overrate them a lot.
Maybe, and evaluation of English players had a say in that. How can Luke Shaw cost 30 million when the last international duty he wasn't in the squad? He's back in it now. You know, it's hard to
put a hold on how good these young English players are, but I'll say one that is good and I'm very impressed at the moment is Harry Kane and Nathaniel Klein. So Raheem Sterling got a lot of press earlier on in the season.
We stood up for him.
Sorry?
We stood up for him and he was being called lazy.
But see, these players that are playing very well aren't getting the same kind of press. Like Harry Kane has got 8 goals in his last 9 games.
Arguably not at as big clubs though.
No, but still, like, I think they should still get the recognition they deserve.
Absolutely.
Nathaniel Klein has been one of the best right backs in the league this season.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Definitely.
If you have him in your fantasy football team, as I do, he's been getting 8 points on the regular. He's a stalwart for me.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a tip for you this weekend. They're playing Leicester at home, so.
Yeah, Leicester. They seem fairly well organised, but they're just not. The break isn't happening for them.
They're not as good as not playing as well as they were when we were complimenting them, what, 2 weeks ago?
But I think when they came back to Beach United, Joa is not scoring now.
Or Vardy, no, not scoring either. Not getting the opportunities. Had 0 shots on target for 2 weeks.
Just on that, I know we've spoken about Southampton a lot on this podcast, but I watched them last weekend when Wanyama scored that unbelievable finish. The technique was superb. I've seen their starting lineup. People kind of saying that, you know, they'll fade off by Christmas and so on. When you consider the players they've sold and the key players they've opened last season, they have a fairly really balanced, strong squad. You know, you got Schneiderlin, Wanyama in midfield,
Jack Cork
up front, there's no complaints. The two centre backs are playing superb.
Yeah.
You know,
two full backs as well.
Exactly, it's very, very balanced.
They're probably more balanced than either Liverpool or United at the moment.
Well, United are a bit like Kate Upton right now, they're top heavy.
I'm not sure how to describe Liverpool.
Liverpool, right.
They're like a blade of grass, just thin. Just thin.
Just a big waist. Small ties. Very small up top.
Come on. That's... We'll leave that where it is.
Well, you have plenty of options in midfield.
Yeah, I like
plenty
midfield.
Of options.
I like the midfield. I rate Emre Can. Many might.
I rate Coutinho.
Yeah, he hasn't
not particularly good this season, but I do
well, no, he's coming into his own. He got player of the month for Liverpool last season.
That wasn't hard.
It's true. But I do think we have a lot of options, a lot of good options in midfield, young options. But
well, do saying that about player of the month, Manchester United's player of the year last year and player of the month of this month, David De Gea. And when your goalkeeper is made player of the month or player of the season, it says a lot about how he performs. Not taking that away from David De Gea.
Player.
Very good goalkeeper. Your goalkeeper should not forget player of the year.
League. No, he shouldn't. But
we said on the podcast last week that he was the best goalkeeper in the league, okay?
Yeah.
And I mentioned Courtois.
I had an argument with a Chelsea fan actually afterwards.
The one goalkeeper we left out last week, who I'd argue is better than De Gea right now, is Lloris.
No, I don't think so. I think De Gea, better shot stopper.
I think De Gea would become better than anyone
in control in his area. For me, I'd put De Gea ahead of Lloris.
I think there's very little between it. I think over the space of perhaps two more years, there'd be no doubt that he's better. But De Gea has time on his side.
That's it. Well, Lloris isn't that old either.
Like he's older.
Consider a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
goalkeepers can play until they're in their 40s. Peter Shilton played until what, 50 years of age.
Yeah.
So like they have a lot of time.
David Seaman as well was old enough.
Yeah, David Seaman, Oliver Kahn, David James, who's in a spot of butter lately.
Yeah.
But no, Lloris has plenty of time on his side as well. So it's just, I think it's the magnitude of the club they're at that will judge their stature at the end of their careers.
I suppose this week it is a bit of a shorter podcast in
it
terms
there
of
wasn't much
topics.
Happening,
wasn't too much happening apart from the Rodgers team selection, and we're speculating over David Moyes, the saucy dad. And of course, we touched on Casemiro made it from the Spain squad.
Marcus Rojo as well being injured.
Yeah, and we have Radamel Falcao as made it from the Colombian squad. Louis Van Gaal has confirmed he's out of the game.
He's overrated.
Overrated? Well, look, I wouldn't call him overrated.
Balotelli has two goals, Falcao is I'm joking, don't get too carried away.
No, do quote him on that one.
Don't quote me, that was taken completely out of context.
Keena said
Dale is the one that edits this podcast, so he has made me look like a proper mug there.
So,
no, Falcao is a good player, but why is he omitted from the Colombian squad? Is there a fitness issue or is it
calf injury?
Is it?
Now, there's reports about during the week that perhaps Louis van Gaal is concerned that he might not be up for the physicality of the English league.
Yeah, okay.
You could
understand that.
You could, but I think over time you get used to it. I wouldn't write it off yet. He has not signed a permanent contract for United yet, but he wants to.
Despite reports by some websites.
So I think if he gets around the team, he's scoring goals, and it will give him the contract. But right now, it's pretty much in the balance. I mentioned when we were talking about Gerrard, Scholes' column this morning and said that Angel Di Maria does not look happy at Manchester United. And
really?
I read that.
I didn't read the column now.
I read that thinking, really? Why doesn't he look happy? It's only been early. He's talking as if he's a massive.
Scholes, he's following him around the city with binoculars.
Is Ferguson looking at this and picking his little minions and getting called Scholes to badmouth the new reign?
Do you think?
I don't think so.
You'd know a lot more than me now, and I see that smirk on your face, which I'm sure you'll tell me off recording what the story is.
Is Paul Scholes a ginger minion?
Look, I always thought he was.
That's the question. That's the question.
He's always Fergie's little prince, wasn't he? He's the epitome of Manchester United, coming through the youth system, local Manchester boy. Actually, whilst we're talking about United and their front men, Robin van Persie at the moment. Is he on the same kind of, let's say, level as Gerrard, that the game possibly is getting too quick for him, that he's just not?
I don't think so. I just think he's not at the minute. Yeah. I think he'll come around that. He's a bit of a passenger at the minute, if I'm honest. And that's
very similar to Gerrard, then, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think he can get around. He's a striker after all. And there's a baby interrupting this conversation. If you
want to get involved, he's mad for the football, this guy.
But just before we go on to predictions, I have a question for the viewers. You can follow us on Twitter, RKB Podcast, or like us, the same RKB Podcast on Facebook. And you can submit your answer to this question. We put it up after the show when it's submitted. Is Paul Scholes Fergie Ginger Minion? And tell us if you think so and why in the comment section.
I'd be very interested to hear some of the answers for that now. Extremely interested.
So we got the predictions.
We move on to the predictions. We'll leave this one to last.
The fixture of the week is the first kickoff on Saturday morning, Liverpool and Chelsea. We'll leave that one to last, a bit of a build up. So first up, we've got Burnley and Hull.
Burnley at the Burnley.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with a draw. I think Burnley can finally get a result. I was leaning towards a Burnley win earlier on, but I'll go for a draw.
Yeah,
personally,
I'm gonna follow you on that one. I don't think Hull are playing too well. Burnley are home, so a bit of I'm going for the home side, and just because they're on the home side, they're performing a bit better than Hull at the minute as well. Next up, we've got Manchester United and Crystal Palace. United are a bit struggling at the moment, but as well,
they're at home.
They're at home. But the last two results, to get a point from Chelsea and to lose narrowly against 10 men and perform perhaps better than City, it's not too bad.
They've been playing pretty well recently. You can't fault their two performances.
It's encouraging signs for Van Gaal.
I'm going to go the United win.
Yeah.
A good United win.
Yeah, we'll go for another win here. And then I think the club of the podcast so far is Hampton at home to Leicester.
This team makes us wet. It makes us wet. So Hampton against Leicester at home, St Mary's. I still can't see past the Saints. Champions League football is going to the South Coast this year. You can quote me on that one.
So next up, West Ham.
Who are you going for with that one?
Oh, I'm going for Southampton. It's an easy one there. I think we've agreed so far. We need to get a bit more.
We need a bit of variation. But when you agree, you agree.
West Ham and Villa. Why are you going for whoever?
I'm going to go with West Ham, strictly because Villa, as you know, haven't been performing well lately. Sorry, Roy. And Benteke is suspended.
What a stupid incident against Spurs.
But was it Mason that got hit across the face? Didn't he plead to the linesman or the fourth official right
after? It doesn't matter.
If you
raise your hand to a player and hit his face, I think it's sending off.
Is that not what Fellaini did last week? Different rules for different clubs, is it?
What happened with Fellaini last week?
I'm not sure now. I didn't see the game. Maybe
there was an incident in which they said he spat at Aguero and Aguero's on the ground. Look, like, as Van Gaal said, when you're shouting at someone, there's a good chance saliva will release from your mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that was the case. It didn't even hit Aguero.
Yeah.
But I think if it did, I'd be throwing the book at him. It's not acceptable, it's disgusting.
And I wouldn't do it to anybody. So you're going for West Ham as well?
Yeah.
Now, QPR versus Manchester City. For those who aren't Irish and wouldn't really follow Irish media and celebrities, there was a hypnotist illusionist called Keith Barry who predicted a lot of things during the week. A lot of things that are easy to predict, a lot of things that are pretty far-fetched. And one of the things that was pretty far-fetched was QPR getting a result against Manchester City at the weekend. But no, in all honesty, I can't see QPR getting a result here.
I think QPR are starting to play good football again.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, I mean, they're starting to play good football.
I know City haven't, the last year in the week, didn't particularly play as good as they can against Man United, but the reason I'm putting my hope in City this week is because I made Aguero my captain and took Costa out.
So you're going to go for a City
win. Definitely. I think City will they'll overcome their problems midweek and get a good win.
I'm going to go for a QPR win.
Oh.
QPR are playing well. City are not playing well. Aguero is, well, reportedly hitting form. We're not too sure about that. He lost his head against who did he change in the week? CSKA Moscow. Lost his head in that game. They were home. He's got a great goal, but they lost 2-1. I think City going into that game, playing midweek football, would be frustrated. QPR playing good football, not getting the result. It's only a matter of time before they do get a big result, and I think they'll beat City this weekend.
Oh, a big call. I think that might be one of the few that will disagree on.
Tottenham and Stoke.
I could be winning this week. Tottenham and Stoke.
Stoke are away.
I'm going to go with a Stoke win.
Away from home?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Spurs had a midweek game, Europa League. I'd never like picking teams that played in the Europa League during the week. But in saying that, in my accumulator, I probably will go for Spurs. But I just think Stoke, they're better suited to the weekend than Spurs are. So I'll go with Stoke.
I'm going to go for Tottenham. Stoke away from home. Never really fancy him away from home, to be honest. Whether a record is good or not, I don't particularly fancy him away from home. White Hart Lane, I'm going to be up for this. I've had a few bad results lately. Come from behind quite a bit lately.
Against Villa.
I'm going to go for Tottenham this week.
Okay. Sunderland and Everton at the Stadium of Light. Who are you going for here and why?
I'm going for the away team. Sunderland are an absolute mess at the moment. Everton are gradually meeting the form of last season.
Yeah.
I think Barkley's got to say about that. I'm going to go for an Everton win. And I reckon Lukaku will score more than a brace.
Oh.
A brace at least.
Taking home the match ball. Just so I'm not contradicting myself from the last prediction, I'm going to go with a draw here. Just because Everton played in the Europa League as well. And I'm testing out a theory here to see if it's true. It's a draw.
Is the Europa League that effective negatively?
Well, maybe not for Everton because they played at home. But Spurs, if I'm not mistaken, my memory from last night isn't that good, guys. Sorry, I didn't get a good night's sleep. Spurs played away from home.
Yeah.
So the travelling may have an adverse effect. So we'll just see how it goes.
Okay, Swansea and Arsenal at home. Are away, I mean. Away from home.
A draw again.
A draw again?
Yeah.
They lost during the week.
Who's that?
Arsenal.
Did they? Think again.
True, sorry. 3-0, yeah, sorry.
There was some capitulation, wasn't
they were 3-0 up, weren't
yeah, they?
Yeah,
they were.
Sorry, Drew.
I'd go for a draw.
What happened there?
Well, Arsenal just falling apart, aren't they?
I watched a bit of the game, and I have to criticise Arsene Wenger on this. They were 3-0 up. He decided to hold on to the lead by bringing on an attacking midfielder with no pace, Rosicky. They have no defensive options on the bench. Right, fair enough. But why not bring on an attacking player with a bit of pace? It made no sense.
Who else was on the bench?
I think Theo Walcott was on the bench. Not the best defensively.
Well, Theo still needs a bit of time to come back and get fit.
Well, he has to come back at some stage. And I think bringing on
I thought that would have been the perfect kind of opportunity when you're 3-0 up against the lesser opposition, to be fair.
It made no sense to me that he brought on Rosicky.
The guy that scored during the week, actually, Mitrovic, keep an eye out for him in the next few years. Very good.
Okay.
Very good potential.
Danny Welbeck won the penalty for Arsenal.
Danny. He just keeps on coming up trumps every two games, as I said. But yeah, I'm going for a draw here. Yourself?
I'm going for an Arsenal win.
Okay.
I suppose then the next game before we go on to our fixture of the week is West Brom v Newcastle. Now, I don't know who's home or away. I haven't checked that. It's last minute.
West
Brom are at home.
Yeah.
So West Brom aren't doing too poorly. Newcastle are picking up.
I think this could be a good game. A very good game with a few goals.
Okay.
I think West Brom probably have one of the best English strikers in the league at the moment, beside Berahino, scoring goals.
Yeah.
Newcastle beat us last week, but did you see that goal? That was just chronic on all levels. The keeper didn't even put out his hand. But Liverpool Football Club. Just have to get that out there for Dale. But yeah, I'm going to go for a score draw here. A good score draw. 2-1.
I think the baby's interrupting me. I think it's going to be a sneaky win. A very narrow win for Newcastle. They're picking up form lately. West Brom are in form as well. But I think Newcastle will sneak this one.
We always tend to do this. We always agree at the start, and then towards the end of it, when we realise we're agreeing,
competitiveness comes into it.
It is. I think you're in the lead at the moment. But that won't last. That won't last. Trust me.
No.
Now, on to the game of the week.
Game of the week is Liverpool versus Chelsea. The air kickoff on Saturday morning.
And I just have to show you this because you will absolutely love this. There's a horse running tomorrow in the 12:40 at Doncaster.
Okay.
Apparently, the owners of the horse are Everton fans. And the horse's father is called Captain Gerard, and look at the name of the horse. It's convenient that he's running on
Gerard Slip. What time is he running at?
12:40 tomorrow.
Put money on it.
10 minutes after the kickoff of the game. It's very convenient, isn't
very
it?
Very convenient. Gerard Slip.
It's not a tip, it's just a.
I was laughing this season. There's lots of vines going around that he's been slipping a lot this season. He slipped at Newcastle.
He did.
And last season he slipped at Chelsea.
Maybe it's Adidas's footwork. Maybe it's.
We're going to file it. Well, Keane's going to file a complaint. I'm going to file positive feedback.
But no, we can't really say anything about Adidas footwear since their star Lionel Messi got 71 goals. I'm wearing Duffers. Anyway, Liverpool Chelsea. I think we can. Liverpool could get a positive result here.
Do you want to go for Liverpool win?
I'm going to go for Liverpool win, Dale.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Boy. Colo,
if Colo Touré plays, he will keep Diego Costa beside Cristiano Ronaldo in his pocket. No, but in all seriousness.
In all seriousness,
I'm going to go for Liverpool win. Just for. It's just for my own personal reasons, really. I think we can raise our game and have a good performance against Chelsea. If worse, a draw.
But Chelsea didn't have good goals all during the week either.
Yeah, we had the best result for all English teams, I think.
Arguably, well, whatever the points.
Yeah, well, best performance, not the best result, sorry. But yeah, definitely the best performance. And I think if you play as a similar enough team during the week, one or two things will happen. We'll either get ripped apart or we'll perform well and get a good result. And I think the latter will happen.
Right, I'm going for Chelsea win.
No surprise.
Because you're going for Liverpool, I need to explain this. I read a few articles lately about Chelsea and Jose Mourinho being a reactive manager, which in some fixtures he is a reactive manager. He plays the opposition. I think my best description of Jose Mourinho is he's proactive rather than reactive.
Okay.
He's proactive because he goes out and he tries to make things happen regardless of opposition. Now, sometimes you can say that Chelsea parked the bus. I don't believe that all the time. Some people
do. Well, no, when he went to Liverpool last year, he definitely parked the bus.
He did, but he did it. They won. It worked. Yeah. It worked. It was a tactic. It worked. It was
kind of very hypocritical to what he said about Liverpool in 2005. That there was only one team in the game after Liverpool scored a goal, that Liverpool didn't try and score, and that Chelsea deserved to win.
You play your opposition.
Yeah, well, he learned that, obviously. He learned a lot from that night in 2005.
No, they're not going to have Diego Costa, I don't think. He'll be out for the Spanish game.
That was...
It wouldn't make sense to have him in
no,
Chelsea
well,
game.
I think he will start.
I think he will.
Yeah, definitely.
Look, we'll see. I think... I'm going to go for Chelsea. I said already, you're going to Liverpool win. It's getting actually a bit more noise here and here. So we're going to cut.
So we're going to wrap it up now.
Wrap it up.
It's not as long as the past ones, but I hope you enjoyed listening.
Only about 2 minutes off the last ones.
Yeah, well, we could still ramble on for another 2 minutes. No, but thank you for listening. And goodbye, everyone.
Just after recording episode 4 of Keynote's Beer, I just want to say a big thank you to Backpage Football, who put us on their podcast directory during the week. You can listen to their podcast, it's called Hold the Back Page. I've been on it a number of times, I'm sure Keane will be on in the future.
I hope so.
I'd like to thank them for adding us to that list. If not, check their website. I do a column on it, mention it on their website whenever I can. It's great for us. Irish League on it has all the leagues in the world, international, covers it very, very well. And there's a good bunch of lads on there. So I'd like to thank them for adding us to their podcast directory.
Yeah, I think you said it all. Follow them at Backpage Football.
Yeah, BP.
Not mistaken,
football.
BP Football.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to the lads at Backpage Football.